Thank you for choosing Weekly Politics as your podcast today. I'm mostly done with my high school stuff, so I'll probably be able to come out with more episodes more often. But 90% of you, at least 90% of you, have heard just Wednesday, so yesterday for me, DeSantis has announced that he is running for president, which is not completely unexpected. I'm pretty sure we all expected that. What's most interesting is not that he announced that he's running for president, but actually that he announced in a very interesting way. DeSantis has announced he's running for president. Almost, I think this is different than any other person in the history of presidential candidates has ever announced. I mean, you have Trump, he held a rally that was on live TV. Biden, I believe that was all digital for him, but it was on the news. Then the entire way DeSantis announced his presidency was actually through Twitter. I'm pretty sure most of you have heard about this. You've had to have seen some headlines if you look at the news at least once a day. There's headlines all over about it. And we're going to go over those headlines today because the headlines are very misleading on both sides. There's Democrats obviously are going, "Oh my word, it's such a terrible disaster." Republicans are going, "Oh my word, it's such a terrible disaster." And then there's also Republicans going, "Oh my word, it is the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world." Every single one of them are wrong because they don't see the actual, they don't see the truth in really anything, to be completely honest. They just see one extreme, they go with that one extreme, and they don't know how to not go with that one extreme. And I have some examples to go with this, just so you know. So DeSantis, let's give a very brief overview about his Twitter Spaces announcement. The way it was supposed to go is he was going to announce, right, in front of everyone with Elon Musk and a Republican mega donor, I think. I forget his name. I'm trying to remember his name. But he's a donor who donates millions upon millions of dollars to Republicans in order for them to help them win their primaries and eventually the election. I believe he supported Trump previously, but now he supports DeSantis, which is actually true with quite a few donors who donate millions of dollars. So it's very interesting, especially when you look at how much money DeSantis has made recently. We'll get into that later. So that all of this is really interesting because it leads to a sort of half and half. So DeSantis announced on Twitter Spaces, and the first time he tried doing it, it didn't work. So I didn't listen to this live, listen to the Twitter Spaces live at all. What I did do is I listened to the recording of the successful Twitter Spaces, and I have to tell you, the recording I listened to was really good. Okay? It was Elon Musk and DeSantis and the Republican donor talking about first Twitter and how nice Twitter is because now there's a platform for free speech because now you can say whatever you want without getting banned. And yes, that does mean bad things are going to be said. That is the point of free speech. The point of free speech is, yes, we understand bad things will be said, but it's much more dangerous to control what you say than it is to just allow everything to be said. Because if we control what you say, who's stopping us from controlling everything? Literally everything. Just very quick example. Trump was banned from Facebook because what? January 6th? I agree, January 6th wasn't the best, but they're claiming Trump was the reason January 6th happened, even though technically he wasn't. I've looked through his tweets, I've looked through his Facebook, everything. I've looked through all of this supposed evidence that he's the reason January 6th happened, and he was not. Yes, he said some things he should not have said, but he never once told people to go to the Capitol and riot. He said he told every single person at January 6th to peacefully protest. He said that in his rally. He said that on his Twitter page. He said that everywhere. Peacefully protest. He said, "Remember, stay peaceful because we are a party of law and order." That doesn't mean I'm supporting what Trump did. I'm not supporting what he did whatsoever. I'm simply saying he is not the reason January 6th turned into a riot. The reason January 6th turned into a riot is because the people there were misled, not just by Trump, not just by this way. They took Trump's words and they took it into the wrong way. They took it and they said, "Okay, sure. That means these people, these establishment, the people who are in control of us, the government, they have everything against us, so we need to go in there and we need to show them who we really are." And this isn't just happening on the Republican. This didn't just happen on the Republican side. The same thing happened with Democrats. Have you heard of the Black Lives Matter protests and riots? I'm sure you have. There were quite a few protests in Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin. There's all protests all over the United States, and quite a few of them turned into riots where buildings were burned and billions of dollars were lost because of those riots. That's not better than January 6. I would argue it's worse. January 6 was not a threat to our democracy. You go into a building, is the building that you're going into the democracy? No. What is the democracy? The democracy is power held by the people. That is the definition of democracy. So democracy was not at threat. Democracy being at threat is when the people are at threat. And the people being at threat is when their buildings and businesses are being burned and their dollars are being lost and destroyed because of a misled group of people. That would be the riots of the Black Lives Matter riots. I'm not saying what they supported was wrong. I'm saying the way they went about it is wrong. And also the way what they supported is also wrong. But that wasn't the point of my argument. So whatever, I can get into that in a whole nother time. It's a very long argument. I can get into it later. That's the essential of all of this. I'm not trying to support Trump in anything I say here, by the way. I'm just pointing out the truth and simply what it is. I don't like Trump. I think he did some good things as president, but I still think he's an idiot and I do not want to become president again. Although, if it is between Trump and Biden, I will be voting for Trump. Just a heads up. I hope it does not come down to that, though. I hope it's DeSantis and Biden and I can just vote for DeSantis. But you know, whatever. So back to the Twitter spaces. DeSantis has a peculiar way of going about things. His way of going about the Twitter spaces was very interesting. They tried it the first time. So before all of this happened, Musk and his team of at Twitter, what they had to do is they had to make Twitter spaces, which is, if you didn't know, it's basically like a podcasting platform, but you do it all live and then you post it on anything you want, anywhere you want. That's really all it really is. So what they had to do is they had to make it able to support a very large group of people, but they underestimated how large this group of people is really going to be. And so when 700,000 people tuned in at once on this one single platform, it crashed. So yeah, there were a couple of technical difficulties, but that's fine. It's whatever, you know. Okay. So after that crash, they switched the Twitter spaces. Instead of being broadcasted on Elon Musk's account on Twitter, it was then broadcasted to the donor. I forget his name all the time. I don't know why, but it was then broadcasted on his account because he has a smaller following. And because of that, it didn't crash. There were still quite a few people who tuned in. In fact, I believe when I listened to it, 1.2 million people had already listened to it. And so this is where the media really kicks in and where you really have to start seeing the truth. So if you go to CNBC or you go to NBC or you go to ABC or you go to CNN, whatever, you go to any news platform out there, any media outlet, anything, they will tell you that this was a complete disaster. And it was a complete disaster because it crashed and it sounded weird. And it only sounded weird because we're not used to it. I can get to that later as well. But it sounded weird. And so therefore it was a complete disaster. Well, not really. So if a presidential campaign or a presidential launch is to be successful, you need a few things. The first thing you need is you need to reach as many people as physically possible. Okay, so you have to keep that in mind. We need as many people to see this launch as physically possible. So there's that. Then the second thing you need is people to understand and rally and have the energy behind it. So you need the people to actually want that to happen. That is what you need to happen. Or that's what the second thing you need. The third thing you need is kind of obvious. You need funding. You need people to donate to your cause. That's the third thing you need. So let's look into the first two things. So the first two things are really where the media gets split. And we're gonna say, no, we're not going to split it evenly because they're not split. The most important thing is that you reach as many people as physically possible. The normal way to launch a presidential campaign is by going on the news and saying, I'm running for president. And when you're doing that, maybe 40,000 people are going to see it live, and a whole bunch more people are going to see it later, but it takes time. You need as many people to see it as fast as possible. That is what you need. So, no, okay, not the most effective. Okay. Second way you could do it is launching a rally, but then as many people as you can hold in a stadium is 44,000 people. That's as many people as you can put in like a football stadium. Plus you have the news networks, multiple news networks, right? So now you have to set it instead of just one news network, you have multiple ones. So I would put it around 300,000 people will see it live, and then it'll take a couple weeks for more people to see it and for more people to gather behind your cause. That is how Trump launched in 2016, also how he launched in 2020, I believe. In 2024, we don't really talk about because it was kind of weird, to be completely honest with you, and he was not very good at launching it. But that's beyond this. So the way Musk did it is he launched on Twitter Spaces, and as I said, there were over 700,000 people attempting to listen to it live, which means goal number one, reaching as many people as possible, as fast as physically possible. Good, done. He did that really well. That was actually extremely successful. Goal number two, people need to have the energy behind what you want. So his goal is to run for president. He wants to become president of the United States to make America look a lot more like Florida, which is a good thing if you look at it politically speaking. Because first of all, I really like how Florida is right now. The politics in Florida, amazing. Excellent. You've never seen better I have never seen better politics in my entire life. The amount of conservatism in Florida, the amount of leadership in Florida, even more than what I thought Texas had 2 years ago. And I was in love with Texas 2 years ago. So there's that. Florida has been excellent these last 6 years. He was elected in 20, tw oh, five. He was elected in 2018, inaugurated in 2019. It's been amazing, really, to be completely honest with you. So to get through all of this, he did really well with the first part. The second part, not so much. And the reason why it wasn't so much is because people thought it was weird. They simply thought it was weird. That's it. They thought it was weird because it's not something they're used to, although it is something they will get used to. In fact, I see more presidential candidates doing it this way in the future. I would not be surprised if a whole lot more people did it in this such of way that in the future. So I would say, if for some reason Trump lost in 2024, which if he becomes a nominee, he probably will, and so he decides to run again like an idiot in 2028, I wouldn't be surprised if he launched his campaign this way. To be completely honest, I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if any presidential candidate launched their campaign this way in 2028. It's just the way you go about doing it and the enormous amount of people that actually tune in and listen to it is quite interesting. And they're not tuning in because they agree with you or because they support you. They're tuning in because they're curious. And that is the best physically possible way to get people to start supporting you. You need them to be curious. You need them to tune in because they're actually interested in what's going on. When they're interested in what's going on, then you can tell them everything you have an idea about. Tell them all the plans you have for the country and how you are going to implement them and fix this nation. That is what you can do. And then people have the energy behind it. And that's where the energy starts to come in. So I would say of the 700,000 people who tried to listen to this live, about 300,000 of them actually had that energy. Of the 1.2 million people that had listened to it as of last night, I would say about 500,000 of them had that energy. Starting today, I think 1 million of them have that energy. And it's growing quickly. And I know I said this isn't a good thing, but it kind of is right now. Because the way DeSantis announced that he is running for president is interesting. We all talk about how the way Trump gains power. Trump gains power when you insult him, when you tell him that he's a terrible person, when you try to, I don't know, say, throw legal accusations at him, say that he did this illegally or he did that illegally. Whenever you do that, Republicans go and support Trump. He's like a doomsday machine. Throw stuff at him and he will get stronger. It's just the way he is, that's the way he's built. DeSantis, not so much, but this one part is that way. The more the media talks about this launch, the more support DeSantis is going to get. And that's not true for everything DeSantis does. It's only true for the launch because that means more people are going to hear about it and more people are going to go to Twitter and listen to it. Because it's millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of people have Twitter right now and are willing to just turn it on and listen to it. Skip through, listen to the important parts, and that's it. Because they're interested. They want to hear about it. They're curious. That's a success. That is incredible. No, I agree. The way he went about doing it, the way it crashed, that's not good at all. And that's the failure part of it. The failure of DeSantis's launch is the fact that it crashed and it took two tries. And the second try still wasn't the same because they had to make sure it didn't crash. So it was kind of strange. The second time too, but the first time was the worst. The second time wasn't that bad. It was just a little bit strange, a little bit awkward for the first 30 seconds, and it was fine. But the first time they tried it, yeah, that was terrible. 700,000 people got kicked off Twitter Spaces because it crashed. That's why. They weren't kicked off because they weren't allowed to be on there. They're kicked off because the entire server just crashed. So everyone got kicked off. It's just the way it was. Twitter tried to accommodate for it. Elon Musk tried to fix it before the event happened. They failed. So that's more Musk's fault. That's more Elon Musk's fault than DeSantis's fault, though DeSantis was also working with Musk. So DeSantis's team should have made sure that it would work. They should have load tested it with fake bots in order to ensure it would work. And then they could have done it and announced and whatnot, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say, though. So the failure was that. The success, everyone knows about it. That's the success. That is the success. Everyone knows he announced. More people have heard about it. And that means more people are going to support it. Something you learn about in business, and I know politics is in business, but there are a ton of similarities between politics and business, which is one of the reasons why I'm so interested in both. So in business, it doesn't matter how terrible your product is. The number one goal in business is to let as many people know about it as physically possible, as fast as physically possible. Because that way you can maximize your base support group as fast as possible and make the base support, the base amount of money from your base support group as fast as possible in order to grow your business afterwards. That is the same thing with politics. DeSantis's base has now grown because he has implemented the right policies, which is basically, let's spread the news that I'm running for president as fast as possible. So now everyone who already supported me knows I'm running for president, so they are now supporting my presidency. But now, because the media is talking about my supposed failure of a launch and my supposed super successful launch at the same time, everyone else also hears about it, even the people who don't support me, and they are now thinking about supporting me. So he's gaining supporters from his supposed failure and from his supposed super successful launch. Now, the Republican media is mostly calling it extremely successful because of the third point. The third point is financing. The third thing you need in order to run your presidential campaign, you need money. And it's not a law. Technically, you don't need money, legally speaking, but you won't get elected. And the reason why you will not get elected is because you need to spend a ton of money on advertisements. Advertisements are not cheap. So, let me just read you a text message here. All right, so I actually signed up to receive text messages from the Ron DeSantis team simply because I like Ron DeSantis and I like hearing the news about him. So, $1 million for Ron Reagan. Ron DeSantis just announced he's running for president. Our goal was to raise $1 million for him in the first 24 hours. That was their goal. $1 million, first 24 hours. Let's take a guess on. But yeah, let's just. Oh, I can't really do raise hands. But the if anyone has any guesses on how much they raised, let's just throw them out there at your computer screen or phone screen or whatever, because it's gonna be really funny. Also, he raised over $8 million in the first 24 hours. That's more than eight times their goal. That is incredible. Like, that is more funding than I've ever seen in my life. For comparison, Donald Trump, who raises stupendous amounts of money, stupid amounts of money, all the time, because he's a money machine, he made over $9 million in his first week. DeSantis made over $8 million in his first day. That's insane. DeSantis is definitely going to stay until the end. That is just gonna throw that out there right now. Okay, so here's the sad part. Not everyone agrees with me, and that's sad. So I'm just gonna show you. Well, I can't really show you, but I'll tell you. I used to, back in the days, I'm not super proud to say this, I know. Scary thing. So when I was younger, I was, make sure no one's looking. I was stupid. I know, it's really embarrassing. Okay, I was really stupid when I was younger. So I used to listen and watch this political scientist, and I guess he was decent back in the day. I don't know his name, but his brand name is Red Eagle Politics. I'm just throwing him out there as an example, by the way. It's really interesting because he helped me grow a lot of my political science ideas, not my political opinions, but my political science ideas. Like, how do you make people start support you? I sound like I'm Mexican trying to speak English for the first time. How do you make people see you and think about supporting you or donate to you? That kind of stuff. I don't watch very many people about that who talk about that anymore, mainly because I believe I'm smart enough to make my own opinions on that and think over it myself and figure it all out myself. So that's what I do usually. Occasionally, I'll come back to Red Eagle Politics just because why not, you know? Nostalgia. That's re So recently, he said something kind of stupid. So let me scroll through his Twitter page to he if you're curious why I'm scrolling through his Twitter page, it's not to find a fault in him. It's because he literally posts like 20 tweets per day. So I had to scroll down 40 tweets in order to see this. So we're just gonna yeah, we're just gonna do that. Okay, Red Eagle Politics. This is the first, the last 7 hours ago. While the delusional camp will be elated by this poll, it's important to note that they had DeSantis beating Trump 64 to 36 in their latest poll. A net 32-point gain for Trump. Okay, so the poll is this. The poll says Trump has 46% of the Republican vote. DeSantis has 25% of the Republican vote. Really interesting. That's an interactive poll on Twitter. The majority of the people who follow interactive polls on Twitter are actually Trump supporters normally. Let's scroll through this a little bit though. Okay. So the way we can get through this, so the two-way vote, which is the way we have to look at it first, is Trump has 52% of the vote, DeSantis has 48% of the vote. That's if there were only Trump or DeSantis. Interesting. So that means Trump went up by six, which is, Okay, so one, two, three. Oh. Wow. Okay. Whoa. I just did math and I figured out the issue here. So, when you're deciding between a Republican primary, which means in February, Iowa has the Republican nomination caucus. I'm going to vote at that caucus, and I will be voting for DeSantis, not Trump, in case you're wondering, because I'm an Iowan and I really like DeSantis. Trump gained support by 6%. DeSantis gained support by, let me do more math again. Oh, 23%. The majority of the people who don't support Trump and the Republican Party actually support DeSantis, and the only reason why they're not openly supporting DeSantis until now is because DeSantis was not running for president, but now he is, which is why you will see polls that showed 52 to 48, Trump leading, but that is not going to stay. The most important thing you have to realize in a nomination poll is that your numbers don't actually matter that much. They do a little bit, but not that much. So DeSantis might be losing, and he might be losing throughout this entire nomination. He might be losing in February when I vote for him. I don't even care because that doesn't matter. What matters is that the Republicans who do support him go to the caucuses and vote for him. That is what matters. That matters over anything. And I'm very confident that that is what's going to happen because DeSantis, Trump has more, what do you call them? Trump has more, I forget what they're called now. People who openly support you. I forget words all the time, and I don't know why. It's kind of bad, actually. Someone who openly supports you. What is it called? So Trump has more famous people supporting him than DeSantis, but DeSantis has more famous local politicians supporting him than Trump. And that is exactly what you need to see. You need more local politicians than you do federal politicians. Federal politicians will only help you on the national level, and the national level only matters during the actual real election, and the actual real election is not until 2024 November. So yeah, Trump's not really doing it correctly. DeSantis is, even though it doesn't look like it based on poll numbers, though I don't expect those poll numbers to say, I think Trump has maxed it out. So here's something interesting about DeSantis. He never loses support. It might look like he lost support, but he never did. So when Trump used to be beating DeSantis, no, DeSantis used to be beating Trump in the polls back in November. And that is because DeSantis won an election, Trump didn't in 2022. That's really why. And then you see DeSantis drop dramatically. He didn't actually lose support. What happened is Trump announced that he's running for president, and that's so he gained support. That's just naturally going to happen. And that's exactly what we're going to see in the polls for DeSantis. Trump will lose support, DeSantis will gain support. It's just the way it's going to happen, right? So with all of this in mind, let's go with this a little bit further about these poll numbers. Trump attacks people, like with words, obviously. He attacks them with words. So he'll make fun of DeSantis all he wants, but DeSantis knows how Trump gains power. Trump gains power when you attack him, which is exactly why he attacks you. He attacks you so that you attack him back, and then he gains support and power. That is exactly why he does it. DeSantis, on the other hand, has been ignoring Trump. He's been saying things that, I mean, you could say, oh, that kind of sounds like Trump. And that's the goal. DeSantis never once specifically mentioned Trump. He never says Trump was a bad president. He never says, I don't like Trump. He never says that, never once. He simply says, I don't like it when politicians do this. And he lists a specific thing that, yes, Trump did that thing. But that's the beauty of it. In your mind, if you're a Trump supporter and you're listening to DeSantis say, I didn't like how some people do this, and he never says a name, he just says how some people do this, and you think, well, yeah, that makes sense. I don't like that either. And then you think, wait, Trump did that. I guess Trump wasn't really right when he did that. DeSantis convinces you. He actually persuades you. He persuades you to believe and agree with his opinions. That is the beauty of DeSantis. Trump does not. DeSantis does. DeSantis will not lose support. He will only gain support. Trump cannot gain support. It is not physically possible because he's met that limit. The problem with Trump is, yes, he gains support by you attacking him, and he gains power by you attacking him. But that's also an issue with him. He meets his max amount of support way too quickly. Right now, he's at his max, 52%. It will never go higher. Never. It will only go lower. Every time DeSantis gives a speech, a Trump supporter will be like, I kind of like this guy. And they'll switch to DeSantis. And it will be a slow process. But if DeSantis keeps this up, he will beat Trump. That is just the way it's going to go. And I would have it no other way. I really like DeSantis, if you can't tell. So that's the episode for the day. I'm sorry for most of the rambling, but it's the way life goes sometimes. I really like DeSantis. I hope most of you guys do too. I believe he's really good for this country, and I fully support him. That's the word I was looking for, by the way. Endorse. Endorse. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word endorse, but it's the way it works sometimes. So I'll see you all later, and God bless you. Adios.